Well, welcome back to our segment two for Naomi's Table. Our teacher, Connie Stample, is here with our Bible study. We're in the Gospel of Mark, as we said, and this is day 43 or lesson 43. And Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we're going to continue on in Mark chapter 13, and Jesus is going to be telling his disciples more about things to watch for, those signs of the time and what times and what's going to be happening before he returns. So we are chapter 13, verses 14 to 27, and I will read our scripture here, and then we will talk about it. Verse 14, "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I've told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Here in Mark chapter 13, we find Jesus telling his disciples some more things are going to happen in the future, things to prepare them so they're not deceived, so that they can await his coming, so that they will be faithful to him to do God's will. And so in verse 14, Jesus says, "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." And we find in scripture, in Daniel, which is a book of great prophecy, there is something called that abomination of desolation. And so the Jews were aware of that. And many of them thought it had already occurred because about 200 years before Jesus, the Maccabees were able to fight against a ruler who had conquered Jerusalem and the area, and actually had desecrated the temple by setting up an altar to Zeus and sacrificing a pig on it and doing different things like that. So over about 3 years or so, they fought against him, and they were able to ultimately prevail and get those leaders out, that ruler out, and then clean up the temple and all. But Jesus is actually talking about something here in the future. And as far as we know, what this object of abomination or desolation is, either a person or object that is extremely idolatrous and that profanes or takes away the holiness of the temple. And so Jesus is telling his disciples that when they see this, then they need to flee. And another thing we need to think about as we're going through what Jesus is saying about predicting the future is that often in scripture, when God, through his word, through his prophets, or through Jesus, gives us predictions of the future, there may be, in a sense, a partial fulfillment, which could be actually quite near in time, and then a final, ultimate fulfillment, which could be someplace further off into the future. And it seems Jesus is doing that here, because we know that before the temple was destroyed, the Jews had become in a sense, they were no longer offering sacrifices in the proper way. And the Christians knew that. And so they took that as a sign that the temple is about to be destroyed and to beware and to flee. And so actually the Christians did leave Jerusalem before the Romans came. And of course, when the Romans came, then they really knew that they needed to get out of Jerusalem. And so Jesus told them to flee to the mountains. And in the other scriptures, we know that they were to flee to the east, toward the areas of Jordan. And so that's what they did. We do know that again, Rome completely destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD and completely dismantled and took down the temple. Jesus talks about in these passage of scripture that people are to flee very quickly. In verse 15, he says, "Let the one who's on the housetop not go down nor enter his house to take anything out, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak." And so he's talking about really a speed of doing that. In verse 14, he says, "And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days." And so again, there's the idea of you need to flee quickly. Verse 18, he says, "Pray that it may not happen in winter." And as always, prayer is a really good idea. And Jesus is saying, talk to the Father, pray that he will help protect you and deliver you from these things, and that you will be aware and be able to get away when you have the opportunity. And then in verse 19, he says, "For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation that God created until now and never will be." And we do know that when Rome conquered Judah and destroyed Jerusalem, it was terrible devastation, and many people died, and many of the Jews were enslaved, and they were scattered around the world. But the destruction Jesus is talking about here is actually a global destruction. And so it's going to be even worse than that. And so some of this has not yet happened. And it's really what Bible scholars and all call the Great Tribulation. And so this is something yet in the future to happen that will be centered in Israel and will be a terrible, terrible time of affliction. And Jesus is saying that and if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. And so we know only God in his mercy is going to determine the length of time that this will go on and make sure that those he's saving will be saved. And then Jesus says, "But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days." Again, we know that God in his mercy is going to save his people, those who he's called and chosen. And so we trust and rely on God, even in a crazy time of all that could be happening. And as far as what we know in Mark here, different Bible scholars have all kinds of ideas about the timing of this and what happens to the church and whether the church is there. And I think the main point really is God has promised to be with us. Jesus has warned us about things that are coming, and truly we need to be faithful. I think that's what we need to focus on, because that's what he goes on and he says, verse 21, "And then if someone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect." And so Jesus, again, is warning his followers to not be taken in by some leader who may say and do wonderful things, but is not Jesus Christ. We know when Jesus Christ returns, it will be incredibly apparent. There'll be no doubt at all, and he will not be hidden, and there won't be any secrets. It'll be very, very apparent. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses was teaching the children of Israel in Deuteronomy about how to know a true prophet or a false prophet, they were evaluated on, one, whether or not what they said was true, whether their predictions came true. If they had signs and wonders they did that might validate them as God's prophet, but that alone was not enough, because they also had to hold true to God's word. And so if anyone is saying something that does not fit with God's word, that goes against God's word, you know that they are not of God. And then verse 23, Jesus says, "But be on guard, I've told you all these things beforehand." And so he is warning his disciples, and truly, we, like they, need to do the same thing. We need to hold to God's word, we need to trust God, and we need to be faithful about what we know he's called us to do. And then in verse 24 to 27, our last portion for today, Jesus talks about how this struggle, all that's happening as the culmination of history, is going to involve really what would be something on a universal, a cosmic scale, because he said, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." And so it seems like he's talking about how the natural order of things will undergo great devastation and calamity. And so we know from Revelation that is an extremely scary time, because the natural order is changing and God is acting, because judgment is very close. And then verse 26, he says, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And this is predicted in Daniel chapter 7, and again talks about the Ancient of Days, that Son of Man coming. And that is Jesus' final return when he comes to judge the earth. He comes to judge the earth, those who are wicked, but he also comes to save his own. Because verse 27 says, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And so, yes, whenever God visits his people, in the Old Testament, when they talk about that day of the Lord, it's a day of judgment. It's a day of judgment against those who are wicked and are in their sin. But it's also a day of salvation for those who know Christ and trust in him and are relying on his death to cover their sin and make them right with God. And so as we look at what's going on here and Jesus is predicting, you can see it's a terrible, scary time. All kinds of things are happening, but we have Christ and we have the Holy Spirit and we have the power of God to be faithful and persist and endure. And we know Jesus has told us to be aware. He's given us his word, and so we can trust him.
Connie, we sure can. Thank you so much for this Bible study. And by the way, ladies, you can find the notes, the study guide for this at naomistable.com under the Bible study tab. Go there and download. You can listen to these 10-minute podcasts as well. Nancy and I will be right back to talk more about this in just a moment.